To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by SoundMind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. This is Aaron Carnes, the host of this podcast. After 4.5 years of weekly episodes, we are ready to stop creating In Defense of Ska. The podcast was meant to be a promotional push for my book In Defense of Ska, and it wound up taking on a life of its own. While Adam and I both love what we've accomplished with this podcast, we both feel compelled to focus our creative output elsewhere. The episodes we recorded remain evergreen, and we invite you to explore our back catalog, which will remain online thanks to the Consequence Podcast Network. I am working diligently on a new book, a novel called Little Black Book of Death. It's not ska-related, but it has a strong musical component. I also have a punk-themed script in the works. Adam is working on new music for Omnigon. We invite you to follow our respective projects and look forward to what the future holds. To keep in touch with my writing, follow me on Substack. That's aaroncarnes.substack.com. You can follow Omnigon on their social media accounts. Thank you.
It's the July 4th sale at Bray & Scarf, going on now, with huge savings throughout the store. Save up to 40% on GE Profile and Cafe appliances. Or step up to luxury with free installation on select Monogram appliances. Special financing is available. Shop local and save this July 4th at Bray & Scarf. Visit any of our convenient locations or go to brayandscarf.com, where it doesn't cost more to get more.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Consequence Podcast Network. Welcome to In Defense of Ska. We aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of the music. Ska deserves to be analyzed, dissected, and have all its intricate stories told, just like other genres like punk, hip-hop, and hardcore. I'm your co-host Adam D., longtime ska musician from such bands as Link 80 and Omnigon. Joining me is your host, Aaron Carnes, renowned author of the book In Defense of Ska, which is currently available in an expanded second edition.
This week, we are tackling a very controversial and polarizing issue, the mozzarella stick ska meme. It's a tweet from 2018 that says, "I once heard ska described as what plays in a 13-year-old kid's head when he gets mozzarella sticks, and nothing in the world is more accurate." Or is it extra mozzarella sticks? I messed it up, didn't I?
You did mess it up.
Yeah, it's all about extra mozzarella sticks for some weird reason. Anyways, you know the tweet. So visually, when you think about the ska mozzarella stick meme, it's gone through different visual elements. What is the visual that you have?
Well, the one that I think is most well known now is a promotional picture of the band Real Big Fish.
Mm-hmm.
But the version that I associate with it is an image of mozzarella sticks, and one of them is being pulled apart on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side is a corny-looking guy playing a saxophone in a vest, and he has like a clip-on mic on his saxophone.
Somebody told me who that guy is, and I wish I'd thought to write it down, but it's some like interesting figure, not a ska musician, of course.
It should be a picture of Tim Capello.
It should be a picture of Tim Capello.
I'm actually going to remake the meme today with a picture of Tim Capello. So when you see that, I made it.
Yes, please. That would be a much better meme. Yeah. So what is your experience with this meme? What is your opinion of the meme?
It denigrates the genre. Mm-hmm. It basically says that the music is nothing more than the America's Funniest Home Video theme song.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts it in this like weird context of like a 14-year-old's brain, like in like a Dave and Buster's sort of situation.
Yeah.
I think it's corny. I don't like it.
Same. I think the main thing I dislike about it is that it is the framing of it being a 13-year-old kid's head. Idea that ska's music for kids, which is funny because if you go to a ska show now, there's so many old people there. Like it's not like a bunch of kids. So that's what makes it funny to me. But you know, it's music for kids, and I think the implication too is like it's a sugar rush music. It's the kind of music that kids listen to while they're on a like a sugar rush, and they're just going crazy in Chuck E. Cheese or something like that. So it really has no value at all.
Yeah. Now, and beyond that, people who see you as their ska friend will then see the meme and decide that you need to see it, even though you've already seen it 40 times, 50 times. And this is my least favorite part of it, because I don't like it being reduced to, hey, you like ska, look at this thing that I've definitely, you know, seen for the first time and you've never seen. So let me be sure that I get to impart this to you.
Yeah. So this week we want to talk a bit more. We want to dive deep into why this meme has taken off the way it has and come to define ska to a lot of people. And we want to talk about why it's polarizing. Because there are people in the ska scene that like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our editor, Chris Reeves, has told me before that he likes it because he feels like when people post the meme, that it's sort of like a Batman sort of symbol of saying like, I'm a ska fan. So that's his take. But I'm a journalist, Adam, you know, I'm a journalist. I couldn't help it. I dug deep into finding the history of how this meme came to be. And it was a little bit more complicated than I expected. So first I tracked down the author of the tweet. At the time, the Twitter handle was F. Mary Abraham, not the real name. And they weren't on Twitter anymore. The only place they seemed to be online at the time was Blue Sky. And I couldn't message them directly because of the way Blue Sky set up. And I found out that our pal Jer is somebody that they follow. So I asked Jer if they would message this person on my behalf. They didn't really want to come on record, so we don't have an interview with them. However, they did reply to Jer. So Adam, I want you to read this person's reply to Jer.
In all honesty, the person they should talk to is Dave Thomason, an LA area comedian. He's the one who made the original joke. I'd heard his joke quoted third hand on a podcast, and I didn't remember where I'd heard it when I tweeted it. If I had known it was from a comedian, I wouldn't have. I didn't really expect it to go as viral as it did. I didn't have a ton of followers, which is why I ended up deleting the original post. And if I'm being honest, I don't think I'd have much to contribute to the podcast, but he likely would.
So that's what the original poster had to say about the meme. However, Dave Thomason, the author of this joke as a comedian, did agree to come on the podcast. So we're going to go cut to him first and kind of hear about how this meme started out originally as part of his stand-up act.
Okay, hi, I'm Dave Thomason. I'm a comedian and comedy writer. And I came up with the mozzarella stick ska joke.
Do you remember the joke, how you used to tell it on stage before it became a viral meme?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I think loosely, yes. I haven't told it in several years, so I might not tell it exactly how I used to tell it.
So how did you used to tell it?
it's really uncomfortable doing stand-up just in person, but this is in the context of my stand-up set, in which case, you know, I would usually tell people that I grew up as kind of a chubby nerdy kid. And I would say that I used to be in a ska band. And if you don't know what ska is, it's the sound that plays in a chubby teenager's head when you tell him good news. Like, if you can imagine a chubby ninth grader going to a Jack in the Box and then being like, hey, we accidentally put a mozzarella stick in your french fries. Keep it, buddy. It'd just be like, and I would do the little Real Big Fish sellout sound.
And how long was this in your act for? Do you remember when you started telling the joke?
Several years. Yeah, I mean, I can't remember exactly when. I think I must have written it sometime around 2013, I think. And then I think I told it for a few years. Maybe, I think up until the tweet. So I think it must have been like five years or so.
Tell us your history with ska music.
So, I mean, I used to be in a ska band in high school. You know, I was a big ska fan growing up. You know, middle school, that was like the first thing where I had like a taste for music, was ska was something that I pursued. My sister was into Less Than Jake, and so I got really into Less Than Jake and Real Big Fish and Boss Tones. And, you know, when I was in high school, some of my friends were also into ska, and I was playing drums a little bit. I was such a bad drummer, but they wanted to play music. So I said, well, I know how to play drums. And then they saw me play drums, and they're like, no, you don't. And so then they were like, but do you want to be the singer? And so I said, okay. So I was the singer for the ska band. I did that through
the ska band called
Can't Stop Lamar was the ska band's name. I mean, Mike Lane, Mike Ng, John Lytle, Ross Townsend, Blake Oakes, Kevin Sharp. That was our band. Mike Lane is also a comedian and actor still, and he's still a buddy. He lives in Los Angeles with me.
What were contemporary bands that you played with in Can't Stop Lamar?
That's really hard to remember. I think there was another ska band in town called Ambulance. We used to play at iMusicCast in Oakland. That was like always like our big show, and we would like, it was really like a high school band. I don't remember. I mean, we played with cool bands, but I don't remember specifically who. It's really hard for me to remember that.
When did you first notice this joke taking off on Twitter? I think it was Twitter, right? The tweet that went viral?
Yeah. I mean, I noticed it because people started like adding me on Twitter, you know, and being like, hey, this guy's stealing your joke. And so, you know, I went to check Twitter, and, you know, that tweet was already like blowing up quite a bit, and a bunch of people were hounding him because, you know, like a lot of people on Twitter are comedy people. And, you know, if I'd been doing stand up in LA and San Francisco for years, and I'd had that joke for a while. And so enough people kind of started hassling him about it, but, you know, I could read the tweet and I could see that he wasn't trying to steal a joke or anything like that. He's like, he heard an idea or something referenced, and he was trying to articulate it in some way. And so I was like, oh yeah, that's my bit, you know, cause he says somebody said this, and it's like, oh yeah, that's my bit. Like, I was just saying like, yeah, I'm the one who said that. But yeah, then, you know, people started accusing him of being a joke thief. And then I think he just got tired of dealing with the hassle. That was my interpretation. So he deleted it and, kind of said, ask people, leave him alone. and I was like, okay, I guess that's it. But then, you know, then I kept seeing screenshots of it getting posted everywhere, and, you know, getting posted on Reddit and everything. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I guess I won't do that joke anymore. Because I was like, you know, I don't want people to think I'm like reading stuff off Twitter and just going up on stage and saying it. So, yeah.
How did it feel, though, to have your joke go viral without you?
You know, it sucked. It did suck a bit. The thing is, I've been doing the joke for a while. A lot of comedians already knew that was my joke. You know, I didn't feel like, you know, I don't know. It does suck to like lose material like that. But, you know, I'm also a comedy writer who writes for other people. I'm used to writing things and not being like, that was Dave, you know, to a certain degree. I feel like I'd been doing that joke for a number of years. I could have put it in like a special or something and it would have been lost to time, like so much stand-up is. There's part of it that's like, oh, it's cool. I'm glad so many people liked it. you know, I don't really know. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
it's part of living in the age of the internet, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's such an avalanche of media and content over people all the time. You know, something like that, I don't really, you know, if I were to be like, hey, I'm the guy who came up with the joke format, sir, there's a Wendy's, sir, this is a Wendy's or something, no one would care. If they'd be like, okay, you're the guy, who cares? So if I were to like argue with people who like claiming credit for it, no one would really care. So, you know, I'm just like, well, I'm glad people enjoyed that, but I have, you know, I have other jokes, you know, I can write other stuff, you know, especially in a case like this, where it's clearly somebody's not trying to profit off my material. It would bother me if he was trying to pass it off as like his own joke, but this is just clearly like, you know, someone has just heard something and said it, and it kind of burned material inadvertently for me, but, you know, nobody meant any ill intention by it. So it never bothered me at like a really deep level.
Well, one of the things that ska fans and people in ska bands all shares with is that their non-ska friends will send them the mozzarella stick meme.
Sure.
Has anyone ever sent you the meme unaware that it's your joke?
I think maybe once or twice. Yeah. Yeah. I get sent it a lot. Usually it's people being like, hey, is this your joke? But yeah, I think people have sent it to me. Yeah, you know, and then I just say, oh yeah, I'm the guy. And then the conversation kind of ends there. So
yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you like ska.
Yeah.
I'm sending you the mozzarella stick meme just to sort of acknowledge that you like ska.
Well, that's, you know, that's the thing is, you know, when I wrote the joke, you know, I'm doing stand up for all sorts of people, like not just most people in the audience are not ska fans. They have only like a loose idea of what ska is. So, you know, when I'm doing like a show for like, if I was doing a show for ska fans, I probably wouldn't do that joke. But, you know, it's like, it is, what am I trying to say? I mean, ska fan, you kind of need to know what ska is to appreciate the joke, at least loosely. This joke is not intended for a ska audience. You know what I mean? Like, I know ska much more deeply than like the average stand-up crowd. But like, to make a joke that works when I'm talking about how I used to be in a ska band, you know, the joke needs to be broader and oversimplified and to a certain degree. So yeah, I mean, I apologize to all ska fans for having to put up with this joke for years. I get bothered when people are like, you know, this is your joke. I'm like, yeah, I know. I this is like 7 years old at this point. Like, I don't need to keep hearing about it. I get tired of my own jokes.
The joke's intended for non-ska people to sort of like, you're like, you're kind of showing a, like a very superficial level of ska. And that's kind of how it gets used as well on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, if I were to get into really, you know, if I were to tell a very specific joke about Less Than Jake, no one would laugh, you know, because nobody would know, not enough people in the crowd. There wouldn't be enough critical mass to have it resonate, you know?
Do you have a specific Less Than Jake joke?
No, I've never gone down that road. I would probably just make general Gainesville, Florida jokes if I were going to make Less Than Jake jokes. It's always one of those things where, you know, it was a specific interest to me that I would try to broaden out and make it appealing to an audience that maybe wasn't didn't have the same exact interest to me.
So a band called Devin K and the Solutions released a ska EP recently. I'm going to drop it into the chat. Just look at the cover really quick and tell me what is on this cover, if that hyperlink works.
It is mozzarella sticks.
Yeah. So you it's gone full circle and it's now become a moment where bands are now using that as a signifying ska element. How does that make you feel? That makes you feel happy?
I mean, it does, you know. I mean, I'm glad it's I don't know. I mean, I apologize for anybody who's annoyed by it, and I'm happy for anybody who finds joy in it. You know, I can't, I don't know what else to say. It's, you know, if you had told me that I would have any sort of lasting impact on the ska world at large when I was a terrible singer for a ska band in high school, I would have been very happy about that. And I didn't know that it would be in such a, what's the word? Polarizing way.
My name is Matt Lieb. I'm a stand-up comic and a podcaster. I do a podcast called The Fraudcast and a couple of other podcasts, you know, in the world of podcasting.
So you're part of the story of the mozzarella stick meme becoming a viral thing. So
yeah, the infamous story.
Can you explain your role in the story?
Sure. So I know Dave Thomason from the San Francisco like stand-up comedy scene. He was someone who, when I started doing comedy, he was already one of the best joke writers around. And he had done this bit about what ska is being the music of middle schooler hears when he gets an extra mozzarella stick in his fries, something like that. I mentioned it on my podcast, The Fraudcast. And here's the thing. I am like 99% sure that I said Dave Thomason's bit and then the joke, but I can't be 1,000% sure. I can't be 100% sure. But I mentioned it on the podcast, and I forget how long after that. I think more than a year. I saw one of my Twitter followers, who's a listener of the Fraudcast, F Murray Kill. Mm-hmm. Had posted the joke and it went viral, and I was happy for him that it went viral, but I also was immediately was like, oh shit, this is he didn't attribute Dave, and also he was already getting attacked by the time that I saw the tweet going viral. I think he had already been, like, people started yelling at him, hey, that's someone else's joke, you know, what are you doing, you know, you piece of shit, you know, kill you. You know how people are. They just immediately go from like lol to kill yourself.
not a lot of in between.
No, there's no in between. People just immediately just tell him to kill himself. And and I was like watching this drama unfold, and I wasn't entirely sure at the time whether or not he had heard me say the joke on my podcast, but I think I remember reaching out to him and being like, hey, so sorry about all this. I think I remember like crediting Dave Thomason with this bit, but you know, I don't think you should be getting attacked for it. From my recollection, this is years ago, he at the time was like, yes, I heard it on the Fraudcast, and you know, I did write in my defense, I heard someone say, like, isn't that the way the tweet goes? He says, like, I heard someone else say, and then he puts it in quotes.
I once heard, I think. Yeah.
I once heard, yeah. Which I thought, you know, I was like, that's a pretty reasonable defense. He didn't say, you know, just the joke. He said that he had heard it. And that's true. He did hear that. And he may have heard it from me. And I feel bad about that. And I also remember reaching out to him, and he was not pleased. he was at the time, he was just being attacked so much. He was just like, can everyone just leave me the fuck alone? And I was like, okay, yeah, sorry, that's fine, never mind.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had when this was all going down, I did have Dave Thomason on the podcast to come on and talk about it, and then I think I apologized to him for saying the joke on the podcast, even though I swear, you know, that I credited him with the joke when I did it. But yeah, I need to like go through all the back catalogs and see what I see if I did, you know, someone else is getting in trouble for, you know, me fucking up, then I feel even worse about it.
What do you think about the fact that this thing is continuing to this day?
It's such a good joke. It's like one of the funniest jokes. Like it's a perfect joke. It's just everything about it makes sense. It puts you in the exact frame of mind of ska, which is, you know, kind of silly excitement. You know, it's just hilarious. I think everyone can relate to it, which is, or at least those who understand what ska is, and maybe even people who don't, like, you know, if people don't listen to ska, you know, the second part of the bit, Dave does an act out where he does, I think he does the horn line to Sell Out by Real Big Fish. Mm-hmm. He's just like, da, 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 da. And it's, yeah, it's just a great joke. I love it. I think about it maybe twice a month, you know. It'll just pop up in my head, especially when I'm eating mozzarella sticks, which is unfortunately a regular occurrence in my life.
Do you get the meme sent to you?
I don't get it.
Have you had it sent to you?
No, I'm pretty like insulated from the whole thing. I don't know if too many people are like, hey, it's that joke that you told on the Fratcast and got that other guy in trouble for. But no, I don't get it sent to me.
Yeah, because if you're a ska fan, if your friends know you're a ska fan, they send you the meme.
Yeah, yeah.
Repeatedly.
Yeah, no, of course. I can see why you would do an episode on it.
Did you have any connection to ska as a youth?
Unfortunately, not really. No, my entire connection to ska is for you guys as like a ska podcast. No. You know, I did listen to Real Big Fish. And well, let me see, is there any other ska bands? I used to go see ska when I was in high school.
Sure.
But I didn't know the bands. I just went because that's where, you know, people would, you know, it would be like, hey, we're going to Pasadena. We're going to go see a live ska band. I'd be like, yeah, cool. That's something kids our age do. But no, I was more into I like punk rock, but I just was this in between thing that I didn't fully understand. It's great though. It's good. You know, to each his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's got horns. That's sick. I like horns.
In Defense of Ska will return in a moment.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of Elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of Elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
The Jeep brand has always stood for American freedom. And now we're standing with you with Employee Pricing Plus. Hurry into your Jeep brand dealer for details today and join the family. Jeep, there's only one. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Jeep brand vehicles for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers will qualify. Restrictions apply. Does not apply to leases. Ends 6/30/25. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Let's discuss the cultural impact of the meme. To do that, we need to talk to the guy that holds ska on his back, Brent Friedman.
I am Brent Friedman. I am booking agent and owner of an independent booking agency called Exponential Booking. I primarily book ska and ska punk bands. And then my partner and I also run a thing called Fake Food Merch, and we run a handful of merchandise stores for a lot of the same ska bands, but also a couple others as well. So
who are some of the ska bands that you book and work with, just so people know?
Suicide Machines, Against All Authority, Big D and the Kids Table, Kill Lincoln, Jer, Devin Kane Solutions, Half Past Two.
And?
Oh, right. I can't believe it. I also play drums and book for Omnigod as well. Hey, I'm always talking about how I don't want to give Omnigod any special privilege because I play in the band. So,
yep, we're low men on the totem pole.
That's not true. My life in general is pretty low on my own totem pole. So,
sure,
you know, yeah.
So you've been involved with the ska scene as a fan, as a musician, as a booker for how many years would you say?
I mean, if we're talking about fan, then, you know, as early as I was like 13 or 14, you know, late 90s.
What is your first experience with that, the infamous mozzarella stick meme that you can recall?
I was like trying to think about this the other day, and I have like, I mean, in general, I have just like a skewed timeline of the last fucking 5 to 7 years, but I don't think I ever saw like the original tweet or anything like that. I think it was like the meme form of it, you know, like just like the screenshot of the tweet. I don't know where I would have saw it. Like, I feel like the first time I saw it was when someone sent it to me. But yeah, again, I can't remember the timeline, but and once it was there, it was there, and it was everywhere. So yeah.
How many times do you think you've had it sent to you? If you had to guess?
I think like in my head, it always like, you know, thinking back, like it feels like it was like an onslaught of like, you know, every time I opened my DMs, there was like 10 more of them, and it felt like 100 per day. Like, honestly, I'm sure it was like, I don't know, like when it was at its like peak the first time, you know, I probably got hit with it like, you know, 5-6 times within like a week span or something like that. And then, you know, just like everything else on the internet, it comes in waves. And so like there will be like a lull for like, you know, a couple months, and then, you know, right back at it again, people just sending it to me. You know, and then it was like, I knew it was like, like a mainstream thing when it would be like, you know, people I used to like work with at the bank or people from high school or some shit, like sending it to me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, if only you knew.
When was the last time you were sent the meme?
I feel like probably like last year or something like that. Like someone I hadn't talked to in like a long time, like sent it to me, I feel like.
Have you gotten the other, like any of the other memes recently?
No, but it is funny because I feel like obviously like the Mott's meme kind of like became almost like this like catch-all phrase for like anytime there was like any viral ska thing going around. Like there was like the one that was just like grab your trumpet, we're having a ska day, and then it was just like, no, don't you mean spa day or whatever that one was, like,
yeah.
I feel like that one also like came around. I got a million of those, and then I'm drawing a blank on what else there was, but like anytime there was any sort of vile ska thing, it'd always be like, oh, this is the new mozzarella stick meme.
Yeah.
What's your read on the meme itself? Can you remember what you thought of it and what your like, did you think it was funny? Did you think it was dumb? You know, that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, anytime there's anything that gets ska attention, it's, you know, it's still good, but, you know, it's obviously like more in the realm of like, hey, isn't ska this like goofy music that's like playing in, you know, it's like it almost like embody the whole like ska is, you know, just for America's Funniest Home Videos kind of thing. That's like kind of the overall vibe I get of like reading it, I guess.
Yeah, it's like it's for kids, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was like, I think when it first that was the thing, I was probably unnecessarily angry about it. Obviously now in hindsight, I'm just like, why were we so mad about this, you know?
When was the last time you ate mozzarella sticks?
I definitely had some for my birthday last year. There's like this vegan Italian restaurant in LA that we go to occasionally on my birthday because it's a bit pricey, and they have very good vegan mozzarella sticks there. So yeah, like last March, I think.
Can you eat mozzarella sticks without thinking about the meme or ska music?
No, it's impossible. Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, and of course, like, anytime I'm with, like, friends, like, I think I was with Jer, like, last year for my birthday. And of course, it's always like, well, we're eating mozzarella sticks, gotta take a picture, you know?
And then, boom, viral.
Just like the mozzarella stick meme. 10 whole likes.
I remember you ordered some at one point and had them, like, DoorDash to Mike Sosinski's house.
Oh yeah, that was, oh jeez,
like to celebrate something.
Yeah, I think it was like, I want to say it was like it must have been like the Can't Complain release, like the first day it got announced, and Mike was just so busy because they were just like selling so many records and he was just doing this and that, and I think like I coordinated to like, yeah, DoorDash his mozzarella sticks to his fucking house just for the bit. And I don't know. I think he probably thought it was funny for 2 seconds and that was it. But, you know, glad I spent like $40 on it, though. So, you know, well worth it.
When did you change your Instagram handle to please tag me in your ska posts?
I think that's the only Instagram handle I've ever had.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
But why did you make that your handle?
To foreshadow this particular meme we're talking about. No, I don't know. Well, I believe you cover this part in your book, Aaron.
I know. Well, go read the book, everybody. But also listen to this episode where Brent will attempt to answer the question again.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like, I think around the time I was like feeling being annoyed by particularly like friends who like used to listen to ska and who were like all about it at one point, and then at some point like grew too cool for ska and kind of like pretended like they didn't like it anymore. And because of that, like their whole perception of people who still listen to ska, especially like me, was like, even though I listened to like many genres, but because ska is one of them, like that defines my entire musical taste. And so, you know, I'd run into them at like a show or something like that, and they would like introduce me to people and be like, this is Brent, he's a ska guy, as if that is just my entire personality. And there was just like other instances like that. And I just like got to the point where I'm just like, I think like, yeah, when I first signed up for Instagram, I'm just like, I'm just gonna like create this like embellishment of my own persona and just that these kind of people think that I am, and just lean into it because that's just what they think I am. So it is not really a real call to action, despite some people just tagging me in their random ska posts, like complete strangers and shit. But it's more of it a ironic call to action. But, you know, whatever.
Why do you suppose the mozzarella stick meme of all the ska memes is the one that really caught on the most, and especially with people like outside of ska?
Man, I don't know. I feel like it kind of leans into kind of what I was just saying, and like, because it like creates this like visual of like all of the, you know, the stigma and just like the, like the goofy side of ska that these non-ska folks like latch on to. So I think they're like, they look at that, they're like, see, I told you, this is what the genre is, you know? And I don't know. That's just, I mean, you're also putting me on the spot. That's my take based off that.
Do you think that the meme, in a way, I know that it's like kind of gets, like ska gets the meme, but do you think the meme is really about like a specific style of ska without it saying that? Like, it's like about like the Real Big Fish type of ska band in a way. Like, that's what this meme's about.
I mean, to your point, I guess it's kind of unclear, but then obviously there's been like the versions where people have taken the tweet and like attached like a Real Big Fish photo or just like some other.
Yeah, it's true. That's like the later and probably the one you see mostly now is has a picture of Real Big Fish, but that wasn't how it started.
I think my favorite version of that iteration though is the picture of Real Big Fish, and then people will add the music of Less Than Jake.
Wait, what?
Like they'll like, you know, because you can put it on Instagram, and so it's like the tweet.
Oh, okay.
And then the image is Real Big Fish, but then the music that they'll pick is a Less Than Jake song.
Look, man, all ska bands look alike, all right? You got horns in your photo, you're Less Than Jake, all right?
Mm-hmm.
How goofy do you think ska actually is?
I mean, in a way, isn't all genres goofy? All genres are also serious. All genres are emotional, right? Like, you know, I mean, music is supposed to be fun, so I would hope that there's some sort of goofy side to it. Look at Omnigod. We look like the most violent band on stage, and then if you only knew what shit we're talking about in our van or in the hotel room, like,
yeah. What about like bands? Like, I feel like there's a whole thing now with like ska bands, like ironically claiming the mozzarella thing to the point where they're using mozzarella stick imagery. There's some bands now calling themselves Mozcore. Like, why do you suppose?
Wait, what bands are doing that?
I believe, and it's probably ironic, I think Stuck Lucky was doing it.
Okay. That's got to be an ironic thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But nonetheless, it's still kind of part of the whole thing. It's part of the whole shtick. I mean, it's the same thing that inspired you to send mozzarella sticks to Mike Szczesinski, right?
Sure. Yeah.
It's like you're kind of claiming it and making fun of it at the same time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Sure.
What was the original question? I don't
even remember. Just about like ska, the scene, the community of ska having this sort of like, it doesn't seem like just like an ironic like attachment to whatever people are using that maybe is perceived as making fun of them. Like the mozzarella stick meme is suggesting like, oh, you know, it's just like silly kid music. So it's embraced ironically, not because they actually think that about themselves, but because it's sort of like, it makes more sense to be that way than to like get all like angry about it, I guess.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I think it's just like a self-aware thing for sure.
I like this new version of Brent. You're just like over all of your like ska, all your ska anger. You're just kind of like, you're just in the zen place of like, you're just in the moment. You're in the ska moment.
Yeah. I mean, just work in music for more than a week and you too will just get over everything.
Like, I don't know. I mean, it almost feels like you're like disconnected from sort of like this stuff. Like, it's just almost like you work with so much musicians that you don't really, like, almost seems like you don't think about it anymore, where I feel like it used to be something that you used to think about a lot, or used to kind of like calling yourself, you know, please tag me in your ska memes, kind of dealing with that. Now it just seems like you're kind of like almost like not even like really preoccupying yourself with it anymore.
No, I don't think so. But honestly, like thinking about it now, though, I honestly think that like without most of us like, you know, using Twitter anymore. I mean, like obviously, like there's some, you know, we use Threads occasionally and Blue Sky and stuff like that. But I think I felt like Twitter was just such this like 24/7 central hub for just like who can just like do the like just with shit posting and everything like that, and like who can be the top dog with shit posting, and we're all just constantly, I mean, I don't know, maybe I can only speak for myself, but like, yeah, it was brain rot, like, and so like being on there, you know, that's essentially, you know, how we all discovered the mozzarella stick meme and other shit like that too. But I feel like without that like social media component, and I feel like most of us are more just like on Instagram, yeah, mostly just like on Instagram and stories and stuff like that, I feel like we've lost a little bit of, you know, that shit posting-ness, I guess. I don't know.
So there isn't this unified location for us to all shit post anymore, thanks to Elon.
Basically. Yeah, you know, like we were all, you know, very high anxiety and dealing with depression. Now we just deal with it without the shit posting and it's less funny. So, yeah, I don't know. Again, just can only speak for myself. I guess I can't speak for anyone else, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, think about it. Have we had a new viral ska meme since we've all left Twitter X? Or
I can't think of one. Can you think of one, Adam?
No, the closest thing is the bumper sticker that's been making the rounds. The keep honking. I'm listening to ska, and you're in the band now. That one's the most recent one I can think of.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But that also feels less intrusive than the mozzarella stick meme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, this is like, I actively like this thing and now I'm making you like it. Whereas mozzarella stick meme is like, this music is this. It's America's funniest home videos. Yeah. And you're a 14-year-old kid.
So how is the ska scene doing now that we don't have a central hub for shit posting?
It's failing. It's crumbling.
It's failing and crumbling. You heard it there. Will ska survive another year without a place to shit post? We'll have to see.
I'm always surprised that, you know, everybody said they were going to move to Blue Sky. And then I feel like it's that other meme where people are, there's the tall person poking the stick at Blue Sky and saying, come on, do something. Because nobody wants to post there.
Yeah, I mean, I that's the thing. It's like, I'll open it up and I'll open up Threads and stuff too. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. I feel like maybe that's it. Maybe that's because there are like those two. So it's kind of like split, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Blue Sky seemed to be like the one that everyone's going to do. But occasionally I just like, I'll hop on Threads just because I'll get like alerts from Instagram. But again, like I'll go on there and it's basically just everyone's Instagram post just in tweet form, essentially.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Blue Sky, I feel like everyone's just kind of like on eggshells. Nobody wants to shit. Everyone's like, there's less shit posting on there. I don't know.
I only shit post on there.
Good.
Mm.
And it gets no traction. One like.
See, that's the thing. It was like when, you know, the golden years of Twitter, it was just kind of like,
the golden years.
You just had a post fucking God knows what on there, and there you go, you're a creator.
So it feels like dumb memes can both be used to kind of like be dismissive towards a group, or they can be used to sort of like create like connection within the group. And it feels like with ska, like the same memes are used both ways.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably true for all like subcultures, but like, you know, it's definitely true with ska. Or it was true when we had a place, but we have no place. We have no home now.
There is no there there. I think the meme is going to probably mutate again, or at least just pop up again. And I'm curious to see which one of us gets sent it by somebody outside of ska again in earnest soon. Which one of us it'll be. Because I feel like I get it every 3 or 4 months from just like a friend who goes, oh yeah, Adam likes ska. And then they send it to me.
I did just think of something of, in, you know, in regards, like you mentioned, I DoorDashed Mike Szczesinski some mozzarella sticks. I totally forgot that at one point. At one point, for whatever reason, Mike had this great idea to hire me to be publicist for Bad Time Records. It was very shortly lived because I was absolutely not good at it. But I think at like one point, I don't even remember what record we were like working on a campaign for, but I think I told Mike, I'm like, hey, can I price out a billboard? So instead of like, all we're going to do is buy a billboard and put the mozzarella stick meme on there. And that's it. We might put a URL that might take you to like the album that we're trying to campaign. But like, we're going to do it for the bit. We're going to spend thousands of dollars on a fucking billboard with the mozzarella stick meme and hopefully go viral with it. And as you can imagine, that idea was shut down pretty quickly. So anyways, that's all I got.
How expensive is it?
Oh, I don't know. I think you could find like digital ones that are like, you know, pretty cheap or whatever. But as far as like the legit ones, like, you know, but I'm like, fuck it. Like all these like anti-abortion billboards, fuck those things. Let's just cover them all with fuck the fucking mozzarella stick meme.
And this is how you lost your job as PR for Bad Time Records.
I mean, I don't think I ever got paid for it because I never did a good job anyway. So I don't know about losing my job for it. But I found out I was better at other things. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, if anyone wants to crowdfund X amount of dollars to put the mozzarella stick meme on the billboard, go ahead and take that idea.
Go to @ please tag me in your ska posts on Instagram.
Yes, just DM me money so I can go build that billboard. You can do that, right? Sell out with me, oh yeah. Sell
out with me tonight. The record company's only... Finally, let's bring in our official internet expert, Jamie Loftus, who was kind enough to give us cultural context for Jesus is a Friend of Mine earlier this year. She's back to talk about the mozzarella stick meme and its cultural impact.
What is your experience with ska?
My experience with ska, my dad was a ska fan, big time, loved it.
Two-tone fan?
Two-tone fan, big on the Specials, like just... we're from Massachusetts, so obviously Bostones are a part of our... I feel like living in Boston, I accidentally went to 5 Mighty Mighty Bostones concerts because they would just
accidentally,
truly, like, you, because they would like play in the Common for like any summer festival that existed, so you could just be like walking to work and be like, oh my god, I'm at a fucking Bostones concert, like how did this happen to me? So I've actually seen quite a bit of Bostones live, and yeah, I don't know, I've been like a lifelong casual fan. My dad oscillated in the 80s between being a huge into ska and huge into regional punk that is now lost media, so that's my history with it.
So the mozzarella stick meme is an interesting case of a meme coming to define a subculture and the subculture being very, very polarized about it. very strong opinions on both sides of it.
Yeah.
So my first question for you is, somebody who's not like directly involved inside the ska scene, when you think about like internet ska stuff, is this the top thing that you're aware of that kind of pops up, or is there other things that ska internet things that kind of come your way?
No, I would say that the mozzarella stick meme is the top thing that I would associate with it. I didn't know that someone I knew personally was responsible, which was thrilling. I saw him at a show last week and I was like, oh, I'm talking about you. And he's like, yeah, I know. I know, it's really stuck with me. I think it, but I will say that it is not, at least as a casual ska fan, it does not make me feel, I don't know. It seems like a compliment to me. I understand why people would not consider it a compliment, but if anyone said this about the work I make, I wouldn't mind. Mm-hmm. If this is how your work made someone feel, I wouldn't mind. I don't know maybe I'm asking the obvious, but what is the opposite side of this polarization? That it's like infantilizing, or what is it?
That it's like saying that ska is not something that has depth to it. That's sort of how it's been digested within like the scene of the fans. That,
right.
I mean, like when we talked to Dave and talked to Matt, kind of listening to the how it was created, like Dave created it more as a commentary on himself, mm-hmm. like trying to show like that he was a dork as a kid. But that's as the meme became its own thing and took off. It's not like this is how Dave feels about himself. It was starting to sound like this is what ska fans are. And right. I think some took it to feel like, well, it's the music is meaningful to me, and it's has political origins and has all these things that is being dismissed. That's, I think, the side that dislikes it.
I mean, that makes total sense to me. And knowing that it was made, I mean, ultimately knowing that it was made by a ska fan, I feel like does kind of shift the way that you interpret it. Where if it was just by like a random person who did not interact with the culture at all, didn't know anything about it, then it does seem kind of patronizing and like lacking any context. But as a cell phone, I think it works. And I mean, but I also, I don't know, I this is maybe a weird pull, but something that I've always enjoyed about ska is that it, like, it's so, it can be so fun to listen to that you forget how hard it is to make in the first place. And that is that's the kind of stuff I really enjoy. Like you're watching a musical Olympic figure skater, where it looks easy, but of course it's extremely hard. And, you know, most people will not acknowledge how hard it is to make something that seems easy and seems fun and like is, I don't know.
Okay. This is where I'm like, not as familiar with like within subcultures and then internet memes within subcultures. Is it frequently polarizing, the memes that take off within subcultures, or is it typically more of a like them all totally owning it?
No, yeah, people are always like, as time goes on, people get more and more defensive of little things, and there's always a contingency that's like, well, sure, it's not perfect, but it's like bringing attention to our community, and maybe people will find something that they like because of it. And then there's the opposite, you know, there's the other end that is like, this is insulting, we need to like fight against this force of evil. And like the answer is like probably in the middle, where it's like, if you don't like it, you can just ignore it and continue to enjoy. But I do feel like, yeah, the way that, I don't know, the internet has like encouraged us to really like personally define ourselves by our interests and what we enjoy, so that in a way that, I don't know, if you came across this meme, theoretically, if this meme existed 20 years ago, I feel like it would be easier to take in stride if you hadn't been, you know, like conditioned to view something as like a core part of your personality. I don't know.
That was actually a question I was going to ask you about, is that it seems like everybody is really identifying themselves by their interest in a much more hyper focused way than they used to.
Yeah, I do think that is to an extent a function of the internet, or maybe it's just changed the way that we interact with our interests. And it can be so positive and life affirming, and it can also be the total opposite of that, where, I don't know. I mean, like having access to a niche community is the best and worst part of the internet. And I mean, I've done that a number of times over the years, where it's like something I would have considered a casual interest I found the right community, I found the right rabbit hole, and all of a sudden it slowly becomes a bigger part of who I am. I think, like, especially in young people and, you know, like super intense stan culture, the internet enables that behavior like crazy, that it's like, you know, insulting or criticizing Taylor Swift is like shooting your mom. Like it's interesting. And it's interesting watching how different communities or people choose to engage with that or not.
Yeah, I kind of hate stan culture more than I hate the side of the internet that hates everything.
Right.
Because it's like, they'll be like making Keanu Reeves like this like saint or something. It's like, yeah, he seems like a great guy, but Jesus, like, I don't think he walks on water. Like...
And that would be very, very controversial to some people to say. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. And it's like setting up, I don't know. And this has always been done. It's not a unique function of the internet, but, you know, defining yourself by your interests means that your interests need to stand up to your values. And if they don't, then what do you do? And like, it just becomes this sort of, weird, largely unproductive cycle to the point where it's like, am I even enjoying this thing that I love anymore? Or am I just like constantly perseverating over what that means about me? I don't know.
What's been your attraction to, you know, highlight the internet and like dive into internet culture so much? Is it because you find it fascinating, or is there like a person, it's just a fascinating part of culture now, basically?
Yeah. I mean, what appeals to me, like about doing the show, about doing 16 Minute the most, is how, even though we have such a glut of information and data, like there's not really been much of an interest in putting, you know, actually keeping a careful history of the internet. I really love people who dedicate time to that and like take the internet seriously, because like we've been socially conditioned to be like, oh yeah, it's everything to me, but it's also not serious. And especially as over the last, you know, handful of years, where things can just be completely disappeared and like entire websites that I worked for or I used to go to all the time, they're just gone. I feel like there is like a fairly, even when it's something as silly and innocuous as an internet character of the day, it just didn't sit well with me that an entire story could just disappear because, you know, a billionaire decided that it was like not advantageous to have that information available. So I've really enjoyed finding stories that exist in like this nebulous cultural osmosis sense and giving it a little more shape. So it's fun.
Yeah. I do think that the way the internet's impacting us all is like, we're kind of all talking about it, but it's so much bigger than what we're able to be discussing at this moment.
Yeah, I agree. Like it's, I don't know. And I still am like the internet is ultimately silly, which is true, but also it is like such a big part of our lives. And if it is such a big part of everyone's life, then someone, you know, there should be a group of people that are trying to keep a record of it, because the people who own the internet certainly have no interest in making that information readily available.
So the last thing I want to ask you is, all ska fans will tell you that their non-ska friends send them the mozzarella stick meme over and over and over and over and over again. This is another phenomenon. And I'm sure this is like true for other subcultures, but you're not your friends when you're inside a subculture. And in this case, ska, your friends outside the culture will see the thing and then they'll send it to you as their way of saying, I guess, I see you. I don't know. What is sort of the thought behind that?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of it, unfortunately, especially when there's only like a handful of prominent memes associated with. Especially it's like ska is an interesting, because everyone knows what ska is, but there's not a ton of like huge breakthrough memes related to it. This is like a silly comparison, but I wrote a book about hot dogs last year, and it's just like, okay, forever I'm just going to get the same 5 hot dog memes. And is it irritating? Absolutely. But I feel like it's just like someone being like, hey, thought, I don't know. It's like the most annoying way to say that someone is thinking of you.
I know, it's sweet, but.
But like, shut up.
Have you ever sent the mozzarella stick meme to a ska friend?
I haven't, but I feel like that's, I'm assuming, I don't know. Cause I, because it's so popular, I'm like, what are they going to, oh no, I haven't seen this before. You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
I always kind of wonder, maybe it's because I've been on the receiving end of it so much, but if I see a meme that reminds me of someone, I almost never send it to them. I keep it to myself, because if someone comes that immediately to mind, almost certainly they've seen it. I promise to never send you a ska meme. I'm assuming you've seen it already.
And I will never send you a hot dog meme.
Thank you so much. It really would mean the world to not receive it.
Thank you for listening to In Defense of Ska. To support the show, sign up for our Patreon. Intro and outro music by Slow Gherkin from the EP Lives. Additional music by Dan P. and the Bricks. Please rate and review the podcast and tell a friend. Follow at In Defense of Ska on social media. The book In Defense of Ska by Aaron Carnes is available from Clash Books. Order it online. Chris Reeves of SPI is our editor. This is your co-host, Adam Davis of Omnigon, leaving you by saying ska now more than ever.
I once heard In Defense of Ska described as what plays in a 40-year-old's headphones when he sees the mozzarella stick meme. And nothing in the world is less accurate.
Wow, that is a top-notch blue sky post. I will not call it a tweet.
Yeah, follow us on Blue Sky, follow In Defense of Ska, follow Omnigon on Blue Sky. And you know, folks, if you don't use Blue Sky, it's never going to turn into what you enjoyed with Twitter. Mm-hmm. So get to it. Also, if you want to get a little bit more content, or you just want to support the podcast, want to hear about what we're doing, want to hear more thoughts on the mozzarella stick meme, go over to our Patreon. There's more waiting for you. There's also our exclusive back catalog of bonus episodes, additional content for all the episodes, ad-free listening.
Mm-hmm.
Get to it.
And, you know, I'm sure you've heard this podcast is winding down, but we will continue. I'll continue to make some posts there about what I'm doing now, working on my new book. And I'll even like update you on what the fuck Adam's up to.
Yeah.
When I find out, I don't know what he's up to. What are you up to?
I don't know, stuff.
All right. Well, there you go.
It's a secret. Big things coming. Hey, folks. Once a month, our Patreon subscribers get a brand new bonus episode. These bonus episodes are completely different from our usual content. Here's a sample of the conversation we have waiting for you on our Patreon this month.
So over the life of the podcast, who continues to be like any white whales that you haven't gotten a chance to talk to yet, or maybe somebody that turned you down that you really wish they said yes?
I don't really get turned down so much as no replies. I honestly would still love to get anyone from No Doubt to come on the podcast. I've actually really been after Eric Stefani. That's kind of like, that's the member I'd really like, because he was the one that started the band. He was the one that envisioned the band, and he was pretty much the leader of the band up until the point he quit, which was parsed way through Tragic Kingdom. And he was the ska guy. You know, he was all about ska. So he's a big one. Eric Idle. I'm not sorry, Eric Idle. No, Eric Andre. Why not Eric Idle? I don't know. Let's have him come on too.
To get access to this episode and all of our exclusive backer content, go sign up for our Patreon today. That's patreon.com/indefenseofska. Ska now, more than ever.
It's the July 4th sale at Bray & Scarf, going on now, with huge savings throughout the store. Save up to 40% on GE Profile and Cafe appliances. Or step up to luxury with free installation on select Monogram appliances. Special financing is available. Shop local and save this July 4th at Bray & Scarf. Visit any of our convenient locations or go to brayandscarf.com, where it doesn't cost more to get more.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.